This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Each incidence of a police officer discharging a firearm has its own circumstances and complications. But among the most troubling involve fake weapons, imitation or toy guns brandished in standoffs with law enforcement. In the past 2 years, police have killed 86 people wielding guns that look threateningly real. A tragedy brought to light when 12-year-old Tamir Rice was fatally shot by Cleveland police in 2014 while playing with a BB gun in a park. John Sullivan is one of a team of Washington Post reporters and some of his students who've been tracking and investigating police shootings and fatal fake gun incidents. John, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So the toll, 43 people killed with fake guns so far in 2016, 43 also in 2015. There is on your article a gallery of these weapons. They look uncannily real. Are police trained to discern fake guns from real ones?
Well, that's part of the problem. I mean, it's very difficult, police say, to train police officers to identify these weapons that are virtually indistinguishable from their lethal counterparts. So if you're in a scenario where it's at night and somebody pulls out something that looks remotely like a weapon, police are trained to respond to that. And so police say there's really no way that they can train their officers to deal with these. But I should point out that, you know, police officers take real guns away from people every day on the street. So they are trained to deal with weapons and people who carry weapons. And much of the way they approach this is similar.
There are so many stories here. Can you just tell us about a couple of them?
You know, the oldest person killed was a person named Robert Patrick Quinn. He's 77, was 77 at the time, and he was fatally shot in Pittston, Pennsylvania, as he rode in his motorized scooter outside an apartment complex, waving a realistic-looking pellet gun. His family said at the time that he was distraught. He was dealing with a lot of pain. Another case was that of Ernesto Flores, a mentally distraught 52-year-old man who, after a standoff with police in 2015, stepped out of his house in California holding a BB gun, and police shot and killed him in front of his family and neighbors. And probably the most tragic case was that of Tyree King. Tyree King was killed in Columbus, Ohio this year after he was with a group of boys who robbed somebody on the street. The boys ran away. One of them handed the gun to Tyree, who's 13 years old. He put it in his pants, and he was confronted in an alley by a police officer. He ran, and police shot him.
The Washington Post spoke to someone in the trade who said that demand for these very realistic-looking guns is actually going up.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious from just looking at the advertising that these are the kinds of guns that consumers are demanding. If you look at the industry itself, it's experienced a decline. You know, from the 1940s to the 1980s, you saw lots of replica weapons, toy guns. They were in stores across America. In the 1980s, parents started to think twice about buying these kinds of guns for their children. And especially as the age of people involved in real shootings went down, younger and younger people arrested or shot in real shootings, the kind of toy gun market began to evaporate. And so now what we're seeing primarily is we don't see a lot of toy weapons, outright toy weapons, but we do see BB guns, pellet guns that are highly realistic.
I'm thinking, though, if there's a toy or a crib or something that kids use that could harm children, they get recalled or remade. Have there been any calls for recalling or changing the look of fake guns, either from the industry or from lawmakers?
Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of states, 12 states, that have tried to limit these weapons. There's the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico have also tried to limit access to these weapons. If you were to go online and try to buy one of these BB guns or pellet guns, and you're from the District of Columbia, they won't ship it to you. In L.A., they won't ship it to you. So there's been an effort to try to limit access to them, and there's also been laws like in Boston and Baltimore and other places where if you're caught with one of these realistic looking weapons. In public, police can charge you with carrying a real gun. So there is some effort, but you know, we're talking about quite a big marketplace, people all across America. There's lots of places where they're unregulated. In Ohio, there are no regulations, and Ohio happens to be an open carry state for real firearms. So it's, you know, if you're carrying one of these things in Ohio, police could assume that you're carrying a real weapon because they do see that.
John Sullivan is with us. He's from the Washington Post, and he's been tracking and investigating police shootings involving fake guns. Well, Congress has picked this up in the past, and this is something I wasn't aware of until I read your article. It's actually the NRA that is against any kind of regulation on even fake guns. Why are they involved?
Well, the NRA and other gun groups have tried to get their constituents to try to object to these bills across America. They did it in Maryland. They've done it in other places. I think they feel like this is, and they would not talk to us for the story, so this is just basically from reading their material and from talking to gun rights groups that did talk to us. I mean, they feel that this is kind of a war against guns in America and that there's no real reason to regulate these weapons, that they're not real, that they're not fatal types of weapons, and that this is kind of the media's crusade against guns, the liberal America's crusade against guns. And so I think they see this as somewhat of a slippery slope. You start to regulate these things. And also I think, you know, they see this as it's kind of a war against American gun culture. And so, you know, a big part of America in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s was indoctrinating your children into this idea of owning and handling guns in a proper manner. And so if you eliminate the kind of learning tools, or if you make them less realistic, or if you make them somehow apart from real weapons, you're going to disrupt that kind of process, this kind of training and indoctrination into a big part of American culture, which is learning to handle these things properly.
I can only imagine what a police officer must think or feel when they find out that the person that they shot was not actually threatening their lives, but aiming a toy gun at them. What did you find out about how police felt about these replica weapons?
Well, the case that we looked at where we were able to talk to police about how they felt, and we didn't actually talk directly to the officers. Most of the time, officers are not allowed to talk until an investigation is concluded, and most of the time they don't want to talk. In talking to the analysts that talked to police officers and talking to the chief in this department in Alachua County, Florida, who killed a 16-year-old boy who was carrying an M16. It was an airsoft rifle. It looked exactly like an AR-15. It's the exact weapon they were carrying that night. It's the exact weapon they killed him with. And so they encountered this man, a 16-year-old boy, who was distraught in a parking lot. And after they shot and killed him, the officers went to the weapon that had broken in half and put it on the trunk of one of the police cars and noted that the weapon seemed very light, that it was probably not real. And I think that's when the realization started to hit these officers. The next day when they all found out, they were devastated. And the psychoanalyst who talked to them said that they all grieve the loss in really vivid terms. I mean, and even though they felt like they had no choice, you know, anytime you take a life, I think it's devastating, and that's something that we don't talk a lot about, is how officers deal with that.
Your reporting generated a lot of comments, many people advocating for fake guns to be painted in bright colors or otherwise identified. Others saying, oh, well, this is natural selection at work, you know. We are on the internet after all. But another said 43 people a year. You know, how many get killed falling off bicycles or skateboards or hit in the head with a baseball? Is this much ado about nothing?
Well, I think any time you encounter, you know, somebody gets shot and killed in a what appears to be a preventable circumstance, people are going to, you know, want to see some kind of examination of how we might do better. And I think you see the same thing when you're dealing with people who are mentally ill, who are confronting police officers. You know, is there a way that we can respond better to recognize what's really going on here rather than just responding to this threat? And I think, you know, officers when they're going into these circumstances, they're armed with information that comes from a dispatcher, that comes from a witness who might not be professionally trained in how to determine the threat level. And so it does a couple of things. It places the officers in a very bad position. They're forced to deal with somebody. It's very difficult to identify whether the gun is real or not. So they're put in a situation where they have to kill somebody. And the person is obviously, you know, the loss of life is huge and affects a lot of people. So, I mean, I think while it's a small number, 43 a year, I think what makes this important is that it's these shootings are particularly tragic. I mean, you're talking about 12 and 13-year-old kids getting shot and killed by police. And that takes a big toll on a community, a big toll on the officers, a big toll on society.
John Sullivan from The Washington Post. He is one of those who has been tracking and investigating fake gun incidents and tracking all police shootings. His article was produced in partnership with the Investigative Reporting Workshop at American University, where several of his students contributed. John, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
There's a link to read the article and see a gallery of the imitation weapons involved, and take a look at the Fatal Force tracking data. All of that is at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.